All right, so we are Siman Reish Mem Hei, Sif Tes here, I think is where we are. And it's really, well, there's one Gemara that's quoted in the Beis Yosef, and then there are some competing Gemaras that that we'll point out in the post. So the one main Gemara in the Beis Yosef, what does it say? It says, Vafilutino, in the Torah, it says, Vafilutino she'enu meivin likro lo yisalkehu mishum. Misham, El Yashavi Macheru Layavin. If a Tinok is having trouble understanding, so don't kick him out, rather sit him with other people, says Ulayavin. That's what the way the Torah writes it, that Ulayavin, that perhaps he'll then be able to understand. If
you just, I'm not sure, because I missed a week. Could you contextualize this problem?
This is really starting a new thing. We have now a child who's going to yeshiva, and he's having trouble. So he's not understanding, right? He's not understanding. So you shouldn't kick him out. Rather, he should sit there with others. Ulayavin, that perhaps he'll be able to come to understand. That's what the Torah writes. So what is the, where is this coming from? So the Beis Yosef, it's the Beis Yosef here, Kosa from Gemara Maseches Bava Basra. So Bava Basra is the story of Rav Yeshua Ben Gamla. That's where the takana is of setting up schools all over the place. So there he makes the comment in the Beis Yosef, Amar le Rav l'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, ki machis liyanuka lo timche ela bi arkasa demesana. That when one has to hit the student, one should not hit him except for with a shoelace. Meaning, it sounds like you should hit him lightly, right? The kari, for the low kari, so those that are then able to learn, meaning if you hit him a little bit, so then he'll be able to learn. For the low kari luhu, safsa l'chavre. So what does it mean, safsa l'chavre? So it sounds like you should give him to the chaverim. You should give him. So which Rashi, or Peirush Rashi, here he is, Peirush Rashi, lavi tzafsa l'chaverim, ein chazakuk liyisaro, yosir midai, v'lo l'salkum l'fanecha, el yashavim achir mitzafsa v'sofa l'asei slave. That you shouldn't beat him up more than necessary, and you don't have to remove him. Rather, sit with people, and the others, it sounds like the other students, will then be able to give him, either be able to help him learn, or at least be able to give him the type of attitude necessary to be able to go through the rest of life. So according to the way Rashi is reading this, we're in Tess. So Rashi's reading this, so Rashi understands that, the why are we leaving this kid in yeshiva? We're leaving the kid in yeshiva for the kid's benefit, that he'll be able, at least he'll be able to benefit something from being in yeshiva, being with the chevra and that kind of stuff. The Maharsha on that Gemara actually comments the opposite, that why are we leaving the kid in yeshiva? Not for his benefit, but for the benefit of the rest of the kids there. What does it mean, the rest of the kids there? Because the rest of the kids see that if you misbehave, you get to leave class. So they're going to misbehave too. Like, oh, look, that, what do I have to do in order to be like that kid? So therefore, the Marsha's take is that one leaves him in for that purpose. But either way, that is the so that is the Gemara. So the Gemara there, A, is talking about not to kick him out, and B, to hit him, but hit him lightly. One more line in the Torah, and then we'll really just go to Shulchan Aruch Nisan Mashir. The Torah says, V'hamala in Yud, V'hamalamid yaka usam lahatil ema aleim. Then the Malamid could hit the children in order to instill fear with them. The V'lo yaka usam makas oyiv, Musar achzari, one shouldn't hit them with the hit of a enemy, or a Moser, or achzari, or a... cruel, that kind of thing. One should hit him with boards or with muckle's a board, shoot him are
muckle's a stick, I think.
Sticks. Oh, machel's a stick. Okay, so with boards or with sticks, rather with a light strap. That's the psak. Fine. So if one then goes to the Shulchan Aruch here. So, Reish Mem Hei Tes. So the way it's quoted here is, Afilu Tinok She'enu Meivin Likros, that a Talmud, a child who's not able to learn, Lo Yisal Kuhu Misham, one should kick him out from there, El Yashvi Machayim Ula Yavin, rather sit with others, that perhaps he will then be able to understand. That seems to be quoting Rashi's approach. I believe that is a quote from the Rambam as well. And we're saying that one should not remove him. Now there is a tshuva, so however there are some times when it needs to be removed, where exactly is that line? So there is a tshuva from Rav Moshe along these lines. Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe, Yerodeya, Chelek Gimel, Sif, Ayin Aleph. in a shuvin entitled Anhagas Mora B'Yeshiva, the way a teacher acts. There it is. So several paragraphs in, he says, Odeker Yesh Leida Shabal Yashu Kishiron Be'ezet Talmud Ein Lomei Karoi Ba'af Kishin Misnai Karoi, that one should not give up on the student just because he's not learning appropriately, and even if he's not acting appropriately, Kim Ein Mekalkal Es Hacher, so long as he is not damaging others, Tzrichim Lahachziko Luzgagel Imo Dula Yaskel Yishmol Heitav Darko. So it's good to keep him up and to work with him and try different things that perhaps he'll then be able to start learning to listen and straighten out his path. V'chol Ofen Hashia Eza Shanim B'Yeshiva B'Kerav Morim Yirei Hashem B'Kerav Chaverim Hamavakshim LaMorim Vada Yeshbia Gam Alav L'Chol Apachos V'Mixas Gam Al Kol Yemei Chayav. That certainly those years in Yeshiva that he's going to spend, the influences that he'll be able to get, even if he's not can necessarily repeat every Gemara, Rashi, and Tosos that he learns, at least he'll be able to gain from the Hashpa, gain from the influence that is given to him from his teachers. And that is the general rule that is quoted, that when would one expel a child from yeshiva? So the child would be expelled if he's being makalkel others. That's like the line that is out there. Now there is came across a couple of years ago an article in one of the Chakiras by someone named Rabbi Aaron Hirschfried, where he laments over the course of the article the situation in places like Lakewood, where many of the schools are very hierarchical, and it's very hard to get students into yeshiva, and they're very quick to remove kids because everybody's trying to claim that their yeshiva or their Besifta or their cheder or whatever is the top one. So he points out, I think, an important ta'ara that yes, while it is true, if he is damaging others, then that probably is the threshold. You can't expect that every kid is going to be exactly the same level, and if that's the case, so obviously there's going to be some influences that are going to go back and forth. And I think the halakha ka'ara that he's basing that on is what was the takana of Yeshua ben Gamla. The takana of Yeshua ben Gamla is that you're going to be setting up schools in every place for who, right? So the parents, there were fathers who were teaching their children. Presumably those were the best boys. But what was the point of the takana? The point of the takana was that everybody should have the opportunity to learn. So Mimela, that is going to cause perhaps a degradation to some amount of the top boys. They are going to lose a little bit out of that, at least with regards to learning. But that was the takana for the betterment of Klal Yisrael. We should be putting all children together. I would even add in that Rabbi Rakefet has I'm not sure I've ever seen this phrase in this particular way, but he has a beautiful ha'ara with regards to what's the difference between a gezeira and a takana. Did you ever talk about that here? What's the difference between a gezeira and a takana? They're usually used like interchangeably. Anybody know about this? I think I mentioned it.
I think gezeira is probably something to prevent something from happening.
Okay.
Because you're afraid that somebody's going to do something they shouldn't do, and a takana is probably something used to in a positive way in order to bring about a positive.
Okay.
Reaction or a positive.
I mean, I'm not sure. I have to think through.
Longer lasts.
No, they're both there. But he says a gezeira makes you more frum, a takana makes you less frum. What does that mean? What does he mean by that? Right? A gezeira is about being more frum. Gezeiras are gedarim and things like that are put up. You know, like Hilchos Shabbos. So we don't. It's a gezeira shemichat the gechalim. Right? We're not going to put things on a fire unless you come to rake the coals. Mm-hmm. All right? We're going to put up gedarim, making more so to speak more frum. A takana, whenever takana is used, is actually taking away something. So for example, the takanas of Rabbeinu Gershom, for example. So it was a good thing in theory to marry more than one woman under some sense. So we're going to take that possibility away. And every time the word takana is used, that, again, I haven't gone through all the shas with this, but that those are where takanas are coming up. Takanas are actually taking something away for the betterment of Klal Yisrael. So the takana of Yeshua ben Gamla, one can make a case that, you know, for those top boys, they're now going to be stuck working with the rest of the kids. But that is for the betterment of Klal Yisrael. So
didn't he also make that takana about reading mail?
Yeah, I was just going to say. Didn't he make the takana about you don't read somebody else's mail?
There's a specific reason for that. And I'm not sure that, actually, that's called the Chirim of Rabbeinu Gershom, not the Kana. I thought that's not the best. That might be the best example.
What's a Chirim?
Well, Chirim officially is we abolish anybody, we sort of kick out of the Machan anybody who violates these things. So the truth is, that's really what it's called.
Yeah, Chirim.
I got to think of some other examples, but that was the rule that he gave. So as you go, as you continue learning, and you come across the words Takan and Gezer, you can plug them in and see how it fits.
The one of Zion and Dalet can interchange, like in Aramaic especially.
Gether.
So it could be Gether.
Yeah.
And Gezer.
Right. Right. What are other Takanos? What are famous Takanos? I'm just drawing a blank. I'm drawing a blank on it right now.
Question.
Yeah.
The extra 7 days so that women wait at the end of their period.
Yes.
Not be a takana.
It's
taking away a chance to reproduce.
7 days. Yes. Okay. But it's also a gazir in the other direction. That is. And part of that is also Benos Yisrael Hichmir al Atzman. There's different languages used for different things.
Right.
But you're right. The truth is most things that we add on is a chumra da'asili de'kula, or potentially a chumra da'asili de'kula, a stringency that will lead to a leniency. And a classic example is that, the laws of family purity. Any time you are going to be stringent, in essence, you're also being lenient on the laws of Shalom Bayis and the laws of Puruvu and those types of things. Yes, the balance exists, and probably, I remember one time Rishat kind of just said in cheer, like, you know, really, every chumra is a chumra da'asili de'kula, and then like kind of moved on. So you could make a case in every time that it really is that. But that was
that
the
theoretically more chumras about Shabbos you're taking away from the German.
Right, Shabbos. Right. Every time you're going to be machmer Shabbos, you have the potential that it's going to be a leniency in the other direction. Right, right. So that's the truth is that's across the board, but there's definitely a thrust whether it's being stringent or not. So so in this article, I printed it out, and I didn't connect to my printer, and it was too late already, but it actually quotes a story from Rav Yaakov, where that Rav Yaakov, apparently at Torah Masorah Convention, said that if you have a choice of schools in a town where there's a more community Orthodox school as opposed to a more right-wing school, I tell all my children that they should send to the community school rather than the more right-wing school. And then he adds in, but none of my children listen to me. and this this tension exists. Meaning, Rabbi Dr. Free points out in this article, there is instruction from Gedolim in this to be much more into keeping all the kids together and not breaking this apart, and the power to have this hierarchical types of school system which seems to exist today is coming from the bottom as opposed to coming from the top. There's another story there that actually, you can find it on YouTube. I once watched it on YouTube a couple of years ago. That they went to Rav Steinman, and someone from Beit Shemesh came to Rav Steinman and said that someone from our community is marrying somebody from Bnei Brak, and now they want their kid to come to our school, and he doesn't belong in our school because other parents are complaining that the kid doesn't have the nahagos, aren't from enough for our school. And Rav Steinman said, you know, it's garnish, that's ridiculous. And the person said, yeah, but the person is a grace of Talmud Chacham. To which Rav Steinman said, please, he's a grace of Gabal Gaiva. if someone is making that type of claim. And apparently the line from the Chazon Ish is that hospital, have you ever heard of a hospital that throws out sick patients? Right? If the kid is having problems, it's even more so that the school needs to keep them in play. But of course there are exceptions to the rule, etc. But it seems like the thrust from the, you know, from Poskim Gedolim, from Sfarim, etc. is to do as much as you can to keep him in as opposed to looking for reasons to kick him out. Yeah. You going to say something?
No, you said, because you said it seems from the bottom up is to make it this hierarchy.
Right.
Right. Because I think it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
That people want to say, look, I'm
right.
Accepted because I am, my kid goes here, so I am from the better ones. I am from the whatever.
Right.
Right. So I think it's a cultural thing.
Yes. And I mean, I don't know enough about, you know, it's not really an issue for our community, but I don't know enough about other communities to really be able to comment strongly. That's certainly the impression that you
when
get.
When you say from the bottom up, you mean from the parents pressuring
right.
the administrators.
Parents are pressuring up as opposed to.
Not from the lower ranked kids up.
Right, that's his point. Read the article. I mean, if you're interested in this, the article is really already several years old, but it's I'm sure it's still applicable today, and it's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. So I've quoted from it before in other contexts.
Well, a lot of the schooling is due to the students.
Mm-hmm.
Students make the often have the biggest influence on the kids, even more than the teachers. If you kick a kid out of yeshiva and ends up in public school, you can see there's quite a big difference.
Well, all right, but the argument is that the argument is the other, not that kid making the argument, the other parents making the argument that we don't want him in anymore.
Right, right,
so you make the point that that's not necessarily the end of the story. And just and a little bit of influence that's coming, I mean, Rosh Hashanah, Makalkal is a pretty strong term. Doesn't mean, you know, he's not badly influenced. You know, a little bit of influence is okay. Makalkal means destroying. Makalkal means really, really damaging. I mean, I think in general there's an attitude of parents of we need the school perfect for our kid, etc., as opposed to, you know, we're going to send the kid to a school that's somewhat in the range, and we'll be parents and actually give chinuch as appropriate. Okay, so there is another gemara. There's a gemara in Maseches Ksuvos that has a line along that talks about the kid growing, that from the ages of 6 to 12 you should push him already to start learning. From the age of 12, so then you like really work him, then you really push him, implication being at that point that there's going to be some you would actually force him to learn, so to speak. You'd actually use some type of punishment in order to enable him to learn. And then there is a further gemara. There's a gemara in Maseches Makos where it discusses who goes to an ir mikla. Can you be chayv to go to an ir mikla if you kill somebody while in the process of doing a mitzvah? That's the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, like, what? How could that be? So the Gemara says, well, first suggests, well, maybe like if you're chopping wood for a sukkah. So the Gemara responds by saying, well, okay, but if you already have wood chopped, there's no mitzvah to go chop wood for a sukkah. It doesn't exist. If you already have your schach from last year, you have no reason to go and start chopping down trees in order to make sure you have schach for this year. So the Gemara says, you're right, it rejects that. That's not really a mitzvah, it's rather asher mitzvah. But then it suggests, well, what about if you... maybe it would only apply, that's actually a suggestion, it would only apply in the case of a mitzvah of a father hitting a child or a Rebbe hitting a student. And if, you know, then that would perhaps lead to that. So then the Gemara responds by saying, no, that would not. That would be... It figures out a way, Xerus Akasu, I believe, that is out of bounds. Says the Gemara says, but if the kid's not misbehaving, so why are you hitting him? Right? Kids not misbehaving, so it's also, I mean, if you get a good kid, so then there's no mitzvah to do it. So the Gemara responds by saying, no, every kid could use, it quotes a pasuk that seems to say, no, every kid could use some type of improvement. So there the Gemara seems to be advocating for this. The Gemara seems to be advocating for some sort of punishment beyond just having, you know, getting, besides just punishing for doing something that is wrong. So Rav Moshe has another tshuva along these lines. Rav Moshe has a tshuva here. Yoredei Chelik Beis Simin Kuf Gimel, written to somebody in Toronto, where he explains, right? So there the question is, it says, should we be punishing in accordance with the Gemara in Maseches Makos? To which Rav Moshe says, explains that, yes, it's true that it does exist, but the one thing that you have to make sure of is that the kid actually deserves it. If there's no actual, if you can't prove that the kid deserves it, so then you have no right to touch him, and it would be a very terrible thing for you to go in and do so. So he says, it's true, you don't need necessarily two edim to do it, you don't have to do an entire Beis Din case in order to do it, but the Rebbe has to know 100% for sure that the kid is deserving of a punishment before he perhaps goes ahead and imposes some type of punishment.
So the Gemara believes in corporal punishment.
So the Gemara believes, yeah, the Gemara seems to be advocating for that. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it applies today, and I believe modern day poskim are clearly against it. But the Gemara talks about that. Yes, the Gemara. I mean, there's no denying that the Gemara talks about it. But keep in mind, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra said, right, with a soft rope. Right. So there is a story with I think I heard from Dr. Pelkovitz, but I think I also saw it in the Making of a Gadol, where Baruch Ber, when one of his children deserved the pot. So Baruch Ber said, "You deserve a patch. I'm going upstairs." Like, what's going on? What are you doing? He said, well, I have to get my patching frock. So he had a separate coat. He had a separate coat upstairs that he would put on, meaning in order to make sure that one is not doing it out of anger, which is what Rav Moshe points out here, in order to make sure, which is actually the next sif in Shulchan Aruch, is actually that one is not in sif yud. Lo yaka oso hamalamid. It's really quoting from the Rambam. Makas oyev moserach zari. Oh, we did this. Sorry, in the tour. And lo b'shotim v'lo b'mekel v'lo elabertzu katana. That one cannot hit out of anger. One cannot hit out of with boards and with sticks, but rather only with a light rope. So what did he do? So he, in order to make sure he wasn't angry, he would require himself to go someplace else in order to come back. By the time he got back, he wasn't. Now he, I think the way that it's recorded in the making of a gadli, he said, "Okay, come. I'm mechuyev to give you a patch." To which the kid comes, and he kind of like, you know, gave a nice little thing across, you know, like that kind of thing, as opposed to a real patch. So while the Gemara is advocating it, the Gemara is not advocating doing things out of anger, and I think what we normally associate these types of things with is a parent doing it out of anger. And the Gemara is avoiding that type of situation. And my father actually has a story. He remembers that when he went to day school, he had a Rebbe who... was he the one with the finger on the spit place? I don't remember if it was him or someone else that if you didn't have your finger on the place, the Rebbe would come and slap your finger or some other thing, that the Rebbe would do something to him. And 30 years later, this Rebbe saw my father at a chasana or something and came and asked Mechila that it wasn't appropriate, he shouldn't have done it. But the Gemara clearly talks about it. It's just in today's day and age, it's a question whether it will actually be effective. Rav Moshe, just an interesting side point here. Rav Moshe also adds in this tshuva that let's say you there's a kid who did something and you want to figure out who did it. So can you ask other kids to find out who did that thing? And that's what Rav Moshe says. Right, to announce, if anybody knows who did this, you should tell him. That is considered a disgraceful behavior. Right, that's going to cause them to be involved themselves in Lashon Hara. So obviously this is absent as dangers and those kinds of things. You know, if you want to find out who, I don't know, tied the Rebbe's tie to the fan or something like that. Not that I ever did any such thing. But it is inappropriate to raise that issue with the
children. Unless the Rebbe is still wearing his tie, in which case
in which case that would be a danger, and maybe you should go and find out. There is a story that I saw. I think I might have heard this also from Dr. Pelkowitz. I'm not sure where. No, I think I read it in Kids Speak, one of my kids' storybooks, where there was a watch that was stolen, and in class. So the Rebbe had all the kids line up across the wall, and he felt each of their pockets, and there was a kid who had stolen the watch, and the Rebbe felt his pocket, felt it there, and then kept moving on down the line and did the same to all the rest of the kids. And then he found the kid, afterwards the kid came and said, "All right, you got me," and I gave it over. And the kid went on to become whatever it is, and claims that that incident is that the Rebbe didn't embarrass him under those circumstances is what put him on the right path. And then one more ha'ara that Rav Moshe actually has here. He says, "Uvedaver lahanish es talmidim bevitol Torah, vaday ein lahanish bevitol Torah." That if you're going to put a punishment, make sure the punishment is not bitol Torah. Why? Because if you're going to be wasting his time for learning, you're definitely going to be causing him losing time from learning. V'hatoelas mizehu rak safik. But the goal of this, whether you're actually going to benefit from the kid losing the time of learning, that's only a suffix whether he's actually going to gain. The punishment going to be effective, that you don't know. But what do you know? You know that the kid's going to miss out on learning Torah time. So make sure that whatever punishment it is doesn't cause him to lose time from learning Torah. Okay. One other point here. So the so in Yud it said, right, don't hit the kid, Makas Oyev, etc. So in the Piskei Tshuva here in Dalid, he says, Ayin Ishael said Shuvos Kiryas Chana, Simon Chafbeis, Bedin Melame Chehika Latamido, Vesheveris Raglo, right? That the Rebbe was hitting a student and he broke his leg. So Chayev Bechamisha Dvarim says the Kiryas Chana that he's Chayev in five. He's chayv in the five things. And you should and you put him in chayrim until he cures it, until he pays him, until he right, make sure that the Rebbe pays. So that is the opinion of the Shalos Teshuvos Kiryas Chana. I'm not sure who that is. I looked up in the. I taught Makos one year in Torah Academy, so I have the big fat Masifta Gemara on Makos. I looked up this sugya there, so he points out that the Chavos Yair disagrees. And I was like, the Chavos Yair is quoted regularly in the Piskei Tshuva, so I wasn't really sure why it wasn't here, but then I actually saw Shurbach here where he quotes that the Piskei Tshuva in Choshen Mishpat quotes this Chavos Yair. That says, I know, just as the Rebbe is exempt from going to Galus if the hitting was done with Tzorach Mitzvah, which is the example of that, so too, he would also be exempt from the Chamish Shvar. He would also be exempt from liability in terms of monetary law in order to pay the kid. So it's machlokas between the Chavos Yair and this Shalos Teshuvos Kiryas Chana. So then the Masechta Gemara then goes on and quotes, he said, I don't really understand what the issue is. He says, because it seems to be a Beferish Tosefta in Maseches Baba Kama. Because in Maseches Baba Kama, it says that the... that your putter, that the Rebbe would be putter unless he did more than necessary. That if the Rebbe did a normal amount, then just a freak thing that the kid broke his leg, so then the Rebbe would be exempt. But if he was doing more than necessary, so I don't know how you measure this, but if he was doing more than necessary, so then the Rebbe would be chayiv. The only problem is, I looked up the Sefta in Baba Kama and didn't see any, didn't see it there. It could be I missed, I wanted to do a Bar Ilan search, but I had to do carpool for a shoe. Was basketball practice, so I don't know. But anyways, someone quotes a Tosefta in a Sefer Baba Kama that seems to weigh in on that machlokas. And one more thing that I came across with regards to this, that there's a Chazon Ish in Emunah Mitachon who adds in that that one who hits out of anger is teaching students how to be angry. That he writes in Emunah Mitachon, which is a pretty important source from the Chazon Ish, that one who is acting in this way towards students is teaching them ultimately how to act in that particular way, which is why probably Bizman is teacher training seems to have gone away from these types of activities. But nevertheless, the way I kind of think about it is like the way Rav Moshe talks about capital punishment in his tshuva to Governor Carey, where he says that the reason we have capital punishment, even though it can't be really enforced, is not necessarily to punish those who do the wrong thing, but rather to teach about the Chomer Ha'isser, to teach about the stringency of the prohibition. So perhaps this as well, even though the Bizman Hazeh, the scenario probably doesn't come into play where this might be appropriate action, still the idea of the Chomer Ha'isser, the importance of the task, should not be lost upon us and upon teachers and upon students, etc. All right, maybe we'll stop here.
Is that off?